Lord does lead his shepherds in a way that amazes me many times, and even by soft-spoken words that sometimes are not heard quite readily as the Lord speak. So I would now give you our brother and Elder Jim Yates.
Thank you, Jake. Few talents and lots of shortcomings. That's me. I told Aunt Evelina that when I found out she wasn't going to be here tonight, I said it'd be a good time to talk about her. But I had this other sermon partly prepared, and I don't have time to prepare one for one who has spent her life in service to the Lord. So you have to be stuck with this one. This morning, Jay mentioned that he was going to say a word that he would say several times during his discourse of reading the scriptures, and that was always. Well, tonight you're going to hear the word choice quite often. You know, this is the time of year when there's a great show of brotherly love and giving and joy throughout the whole world. And I was thinking, isn't it a terrible shame that for the most part it's just a show or a sham and not a reality? Nothing other than a show. Also, I was wondering, what kind of a world would it be if it was truly, really, down to goodness, real affection shown and expressed to one another throughout the year, not for just a few short days or weeks? We have Christmas and New Year's coming, a time for much joy and happiness with our loved ones and the family that we see here in front of me tonight. Much joy. One of the songs we sang in the song service tonight, "Joy to the World." But is there really much joy in the world today? I don't think there's much joy tonight in El Salvador or Nicaragua or Sudan or Ethiopia. The news the other night said that within a year, 3 to 6 million will die of starvation in Ethiopia. There's not much joy in that. Yet, in 2 Nephi, first chapter, (clears throat) got over in the fourth chapter somehow. 115th verse. Said Adam fell that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. But again, we read it a little bit different in John 10:10. I just want to read, I think, the last half of that verse. Jesus himself speaking says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. About 300 years ago, there were some people who wanted just that, life more abundantly. But to do so, they had to do something. They had to leave where they was at and go to a new world, a new land. And the reason for it was, in order to have this abundant life that they saw fit, was to worship God in the manner that they saw fit. And where they was, they could not without intervention and interruptions and threats on their lives. The history books call these people pilgrims that came to this land. I think, if memory serves me right, that some of the people in this audience tonight had ancestors on the Mayflower, didn't you? Danforth on the Mayflower? Were there some Danforth on the Mayflower and they come over here?
Next ship?
That's close enough. Still pilgrims. But they came here for a reason. In search of a better life. We can read about those people in 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter. Verse, I believe, start. Did Nephi speaking? 145 to 152nd verse, I believe. And it came to pass that the angel said unto me, Behold, the wrath of God is upon the seed of thy brethren. And I looked and beheld a man among the Gentiles who is separated from the seed of my brethren by many waters. And I beheld the Spirit of God. It came down upon the many waters, and even this it came down and wrought upon the man, and he went forth upon the many waters, even unto the seed of my brethren who were in the promised land. And it came to pass that I beheld the Spirit of God that wrought upon other Gentiles, that they went forth out of captivity upon many waters. And it came to pass that I beheld many multitudes of Gentiles upon the land of promise. And I beheld the wrath of God was upon my seed and my brethren, and they were scattered before the Gentiles and were smitten. And I beheld the Spirit of the Lord was upon the Gentiles, and they did prosper and obtain the land for their inheritance. I think I'll skip down to the 52nd verse, the 152nd. And I came to pass that, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles who had gone forth out of captivity did humble themselves before the Lord. And the power of the Lord was with them. You notice it said they did humble themselves before the Lord. Why did they do this? If you go right across the page, we'll find something over there. We'll find that they had a book. That they brought with them. We'll start with number... Oh, we can start 156. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land. And I beheld a book, and it was carried forth among them. And the angel said unto me, Knowest thou what meanest the book? And I said unto him, I know not. And he said, Behold, it proceedeth out of the mouth of the Jew. And I, Nephi, beheld it. And he said unto me, The book that thou beholdest is the record of the Jew, which contains the covenants of the Lord which he hath made upon the house of Israel. And it also containeth many prophecies of the holy prophets. The history of the Jew. That we know as the Bible. They kept the commandments that was in their book, the Bible. That's why they did prosper. I'd like to read one verse, I think, same chapter. Nevertheless, thou beholdest that the Gentiles who had also gone forth out of captivity and were lifted up by the power of God above all other nations on the face of the land, which is a choice land above all other lands. There's that word choice. I want you to remember that word as we get a little farther. I want to go to the 7th chapter of 2nd Nephi. One verse there I want to read. Still talking about this same land. For it is a choice land, saith God, above all other lands. Now I wonder if we're beginning to get the picture now that this is a special land set aside by God for a special purpose. And this special purpose, we'll get to that in a little while. I won't tell you now. Let's go to right back up the top of the page there. Verse 18 and 19. And this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles, and there shall be no kings upon the land who shall raise up unto the Gentiles. And I will fortify this land against all other nations. Hasn't this truly been a land of liberty throughout, especially the 200 years that we call ourselves a nation, or a little more than that? what were some of the slogans of our revolutionary brothers? Don't tread on me. Give me liberty or give me death. Yes, we've had liberty all these years. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. No kings. We definitely have been fortified against all other nations. But you see, these people that have been talking about, the pilgrims, were not the only people to come to this land that's been called a choice land. For many hundreds of years before, there came a group to this country, this land. And perhaps some 2,000 years before that, another group to this choice land. See if we can learn just a little bit about them. In about 600 B.C., had a group of people led by God to this land, but there was a stipulation, something that they had to do. Same thing that you and I have to do today. You read about that in the first chapter, 1 Nephi, 54th verse. Inasmuch as you keep my commandments, ye shall prosper. And ye shall be led to this land of promise, yea, even the land which I have prepared for you. Yea, a land which is choice above all other lands. Now we know, according to history of the scriptures, and some of these people truly tried to keep the commandments of God. Many gave their lives for it. But we also know that many did not. And so after perhaps many, many wars, in 1,000 years, those who tried to keep the commandments were no longer here, were killed. What we have left today from the remnant of those people, we call the Indian people. They too one day will accept. We know that. For it is also in here. And then there was another group. Around 2200 B.C. They too were told about the same thing when they came to this choice land. We'll go to Ether, first chapter, 29th through 33rd verse. And the Lord suffered that they would not stop. They should not stop before the sea and the wilderness, beyond the sea and the wilderness. But he would that they should come forth even into the land of promise, which was a choice land above all other, which God, the Lord God, had preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared that those who possessed, who should possess this land, from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off, and the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. And now we can behold the decree of God concerning this land, that is a land of promise. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they have ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands, wherefore he doth preserve it, possess it, shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is an everlasting decree of God. And it is not until the fullness of their iniquity among the children of the land that they are swept off. Not until the fullness of their iniquity. So, we're given every chance to change our ways, to repent. They were given every chance to repent of their iniquities. They didn't do it. We still have it before us. We still have a chance. Now this was in 2200 BC. We read almost the same words up here in 600 BC. I think it can well apply to 1984 AD. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he said it then, it goes for now. If it happened to them, it will happen now. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments, or else. It's not a threat. It's a promise. You will be swept away. Simple choice. We just finished celebrating Thanksgiving. We celebrate Thanksgiving once a year. Because of the history of our nation, we're probably the only nation on earth that celebrates Thanksgiving. It started with the Pilgrims, who after a hard winter and a first year, deemed it necessary to give thanks for their deliverance and protection from the hardships
for the short time they had been here, for the short time that they had spent in this, the choice land. I doubt very much if that cold, hard winter was very much of a choice for them. They probably didn't think it was a very choice land at that time. Nevertheless, they did stop and give thanks. Now, thanksgiving, once a year, is a very good thing. Makes us stop and think and take stock of just exactly what we have. It's sure not like Ethiopia. Things are very good in this, the choice land. But there's something else. Let's go to Alma 16. I have to read one verse. 238th verse. Halfway through this verse, I would like to insert a couple words. Keep my commandments, that ye live in thanksgiving daily. Not yearly. Daily. Now we know right there that this don't mean have a big turkey feast every day. A different kind of thanksgiving. Yet it could still be the same. For the many mercies and blessings which he just bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto keeping my commandments. Prayer continually, that you may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that you may not become his subjects at the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good. Now, why is it? What is the purpose of keeping the commandments of God and living a righteous life? Other than the obvious, that is, we know, because we want to earn eternal life. But there's still another reason. There's a lot of land on this planet we call Earth, that's choice land. Beautiful land. So what makes this land right here so special? Let's go back to Ether. Read three verses. Sixth chapter. I want to read the first three verses. And now I, Moroni, proceed to finish my record concerning the destruction of the people whom I have been writing.
For behold, they rejected all the words of Ether. For he truly told them of all things, from the beginning of man, and after the waters had receded off the face of this land, it became a choice land above all other lands, a chosen land of the Lord. Choice again. Wherefore, the Lord would have that all men should serve him who dwell upon the face thereof. Now comes the reason why this is a choice land above all other lands. And that it is the place of the New Jerusalem, which shall come down out of heaven, and the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Because it was set aside from the very beginning for a special reason, a specific purpose. Do we need a better reason to keep His commandments? I don't think so. In the late 40s, early 50s, can't remember which, there was a song out called "It's in the Book." Some of you probably remember. It would give you certain facts, and then it would say, "It's in the book," to prove that it was right, not fiction. It was a truth. All you had to do was open it up. There it was. Well, that which I have spoken tonight is in the book. Four books, if you will. It's not a myth. Fiction. It's a fact. You can read it for yourself. It's there. Take a look at the way our nation is going today. Utter disregard of the commandments of God. The history in here proves that we are in great jeopardy as a nation. I pray that our individual lives are not in that jeopardy.